snap. He play fakes Dwight. He looks down the middle. He fires, and the ball is caught in the back of the end zone by Danny.
It's a catch.
Amendola! Touchdown! Patriots!
It's a catch.
He made the grab just inside the end line. And New England is taking the lead.
I love Tom Brady. Man, Danny, playoff Amendola. So many on his drive. Amendola elevates 1 foot.
What a catch.
2 foot.
Left foot toe tap.
Clutch.
I guarantee you Edelman's pissed. I guarantee you, because I would be.
Yeah, Amendola is Edelman this year.
Yep.
And he's running all the same routes, making all the same catches.
I would be jealous and pissed. If I got hurt and the team went on to go to the Super Bowl and the guy was that was essentially my understudy took over, I would be pissed.
Now he's best friends with Brady. He's got the locker room to himself.
Now he knows how Welker felt.
I know.
Yeah, like if I... Like, say I got leprosy and I had to leave the station for like a year and someone came in and all of a sudden you guys started getting 50 shares.
Yeah.
I'd be furious.
Mm-hmm.
I would be pissed.
Well, it's the competitor in him. You know, I that part I don't
know. No,
I don't
but
blame
you don't want people to have a bunch of success while with something that you were involved in.
Sure.
Now, I want my friends to have success because it's much more fun to hang out with people that can get cool stuff than right. It is to not have cool stuff. But in terms of something I'm intimately involved with, when I'm gone, I want it to fail.
Just like Matt Light.
I was just
going to
say, Matt Light probably feels the same way.
That's no, right. Matt Light retired.
But he left and they still kept winning, you
no,
see.
No, but he left. Like, if I left the show,
oh, okay.
Then I would hope that you guys did well. And I'm being all completely honest.
No,
if I was to leave the show, but if I was fired and you guys were in on it, I'd want you to fail miserably.
Sure.
All right, here we go. The final stop for the playoff series raffle is for the big game. The Light Foundation is raffling off a chance for one lucky fan and a guest for a once-in-a-lifetime trip to see the big game in Minneapolis on February 4th. Former New England Patriots offensive lineman and three-time Super Bowl champion Matt Light is raffling off this trip. One grand prize winner and a guest will receive two tickets to the big game in Philadelphia. You know what I'm talking about. You'll get flights to and from Minnesota two-night stay at the Fairfield Inn by the Marriott Hudson. Oh. And it'll score seats to the big game to cheer the Patriots as they face off with the Eagles. Raffle tickets always are $1 at playoffraffle.org. From Las Vegas, a man who got up early in Vegas or perhaps has not gone to bed, Mr. Matt Light. Hello, sir.
Live from Las Vegas. I wanted to come in slurring, as most people would think anybody would do when it's this early in Las Vegas. But I have to tell you, I went to bed at like 8 o'clock last night just to stay on the East Coast schedule. This Las Vegas lifestyle isn't for me, man.
Now, why are you there?
Oh, there's a big industry trade show out here, you know. They've got
the porn one?
A lot going. No.
Not the CES one with all the porn people?
Time for the AVN Awards. Yeah.
No, but you know, so I'm out here for the SHOT Show, which is a big outdoor hunting trade show, and there have been times in the past for SHOT when it did coincide with the whole, you know, adult film entertainment world, and it makes for a very interesting stroll around Vegas when there's a whole bunch of gun guys and military people and then strippers and hookers and adult film stars. It's very, very interesting.
Well, I got news for you. There's hookers all over whenever you go. But what's fascinating to me at these, and I've never been to one, but I've seen like videos of them, is that like the porn part of the CES convention, like the dudes that wait in line to get their picture taken. Like they like wait in line to get your picture taken with a porn star. It's like you realize you could pay to have sex with them. Like, why are you waiting in line to get your picture taken? But that's just a little bit of my Andy Rooney in me. Matt Light, it's a very exciting. Now, tell me this. Do you think Julian Edelman, a little bit of him is pissed that Amendola's had this success?
Well, no, look, I'm going to tell you just from, you know, my experience, right? I mean, I missed most of one season with an injury to my leg. And when you're out, you feel so alienated from the team. And it's not because they go out of their way to do anything or say anything to you or kind of keep you away from the locker room, because you're really there more than you typically would be there if you were healthy. I mean, it's just a very ugly time for any player because, yeah, you have to watch other guys go out and have success doing what you did. And there's a part of you that's a little bit jealous about that or a little bit hurt, you know, that you know, the team can go on without you. And, you know, how valuable are you when they keep winning and you're not in the game anymore? But the other side of you says, hey, you know, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get back on the field. I'm going to fight for my position. And whenever I'm healthy, I'm going to get it back, right? So that's the motive to get healthy. But it's not a good position to be in. I mean, I've seen guys go really into the tank and take it real personal and have a hard time, you know, getting past those feelings and just getting back to working out and getting healthy again.
All right, how tough is it to concentrate this week if you're a member of the not this week, next week? You've been out the Super Bowl week. There's got all these commitments you've got. There's these parties and things beforehand, media day. How tough is it to stay locked in on football and realize that the biggest game of many of these guys' lives is coming up?
Yeah, it's tough. It's very difficult. I mean, we, you know, look, the guys right now for the last 2-3 days have been, you know, focused on what they can get for themselves, right? I mean, how many tickets can I get? How can I, you know, work a deal with some of the younger guys? How can I get some extra rooms? What am I going to do with my uncle who I know I'm going to have to pay for his flight and who's going to book that? I mean, it's just nonstop, and you're getting hit by all your boys and, you know, the family members that just have to be on the list, and your wife or your girlfriend whose family isn't as important but, you know, needs to be there. You know, all these things go through your mind, and, you know, it's just it's comical to a degree, but, you know, pretty soon, I would say by today, you know, going out and getting, you know, a good day of practice, and it'll start getting back to football, but there's always going to be this lingering effect of the Super Bowl and the hype and, you know, what guys are going to try to get and how they're going to, you know, look, today, too, everybody has a brand, right? So they're going to want to try to jockey for position, you know, for after the Super Bowl and how they can make some money at the Super Bowl. And money comes into play to a certain degree, and that's the side that, you know, a lot of people don't talk about, but it can be a distraction for a lot of these teams, and a lot of these teams do get distracted by all the hoopla.
And, Matt, don't these people know that if you can just wait till after the Super Bowl, then you can dance shirtless on stage and taste colors, much like the way that we saw a video of you after. What was going on there? That is one of my favorite videos from the Super Bowl. You were in your happy place that night.
Well, listen, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up. I'd like to go back and really dive into that moment. You know, look, I knew I was done, right? I knew I was retired, and, you know, I didn't look at the game the same way as other guys did. And it's because of my experience, right? I mean, I'd won a few and, you know, unfortunately lost a few. And I knew how special that year was and just being in it. So, you know, when I got to the after party, I took full advantage of, you know, the free booze and a great party and got after it, man, and had a little fun. And I like to showcase my overall, you know, jazz square, three-step turn, the pony. You know, I got to get those moves out there.
Pony! I like you referring it to booze. Now, Mr. Matt Light, what do you make of this Brady documentary that's coming out? It debuts tomorrow.
Today.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know what I'm going to be doing at noon Eastern time. I'm going to be Facebook, whatever that is, watch. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see it. I actually saw, you know, the guy filming it at the game a couple weeks ago. And, you know, he had his camera and he was rolling on the Brady suite. So I think there's going to be some behind-the-scenes stuff from inside Gillette to outside Gillette, his home, you know, the whole nine. And it'll be interesting to see what he does. I mean, the guy's always been private, right? And you're seeing more and more of him and hearing more from him. So I think people are going to be interested to see it. I don't know how it's going to roll out, but there'll probably be quite a few eyeballs on it.
Do you think that what some of the stuff he's doing is weird?
Listen, I think Tommy's always been, you know, who he is, and he's always been a very, you know, I would say he's, I don't want to say the word eclectic. He's just, He's a different guy. Like, he's so focused in everything he does. It actually kind of pisses you off when you're around him. Like, can you just, like, you know, drink a beer, eat something really unhealthy, and, you know, talk about, you know, I don't know, some guy thing that's just off the wall? No, he's got to always be driven, you know, doing what he does. So it's going to be interesting, man. I think it'll be a pretty good insight into, you know, kind of how he does things and get people to see what we saw in the locker room, which is, you know, unfortunately, for all of us that had to be around it, a very driven guy who makes you do more and all the things that you've heard about him, you know, for years and years.
It's funny because last night I was watching a rerun of Family Guy, and Tom Brady's on it, like, for the whole episode. Yeah. And it was like from 2006 or 2004 or 2006. And I'm thinking, is this the same person? Like, he agreed to be on Family Guy, like, as the main character.
Yeah.
And now here he is, like, with Deepak Chopra or whatever the hell the guy is, you know, showing his untraditional medicine. The man has evolved.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, he picks and chooses his battles every now and then. He comes out of the woodwork and, you know, he does something. And, yeah, that's always been him, though. You know, he's got a certain way about him, and it's proven to be pretty effective on the field. So I guess I wouldn't tell him to change anything quite yet.
Do you get a feeling at all that this is near the end? Like, this whole great run that the Patriots have been on, you know, between Belichick and Brady and everything else, with the assistant coaches leaving and the articles that are coming out, do you get any feeling that this might be the end?
I don't get the feeling it's going to be the end, but I think things are definitely changing. I think it's changing with the, you know, look, I mean, I would start off and say that the locker room in the NFL is so drastically different, you know, than what it was even 5 years ago, 6 years ago. You know, I walked out of the locker room, you know, basically after that game and you know, danced wildly. But, you know, when I left the locker room, it was nothing like it is today. I mean, it was different than when I got in the league in 01, but, you know, it's difficult to reach guys and to motivate guys. And when you see these young, you know, these rookies that come in and, you know, they've been on top of the world and they've been treated like royalty and, you know, they don't have to practice the way they used to. I mean, people don't talk about a lot of the things that have changed the game of football, but it is a different game. And so I think, therefore, as a coach, it's a different player, and you've got to be able to adapt, and you've got to be able to speak their language. And when you see this transition, and you see guys that are going to go off, and now the group that's been together, that coaching staff has been together for so long, and can understand how to do things, that's going to change the dynamics of the locker room to even a greater degree. And so I think all those things will create a different look and feel for the Patriots. And, you know, of course, there's going to be players that change as well. So that happens every year. So I think it'll get tougher and tougher to keep that Belichick system in check, which means they're just going to put more and more hours in. And I don't know how you do that with a staff that's there 24 hours a day anyway.
All right. Well, Matt Light, again, for his very successful Light Foundation. You can go to playoffraffle.org. Tickets are only $1. And the winner gets the grand prize. The winner and the guest will receive two tickets to the big game between the Philadelphia Eagles February 4th in Minneapolis. You'll get flights to and from Minnesota, two-night stay at the Fairfield Inn by the Marriott Hudson, and score seats, or by Marriott Hudson, and score seats to the big game to cheer on the Patriots in that big game, as they say. Matt Light, always a pleasure, sir, and have fun in Vegas.
I'll put it on black for you two, and hopefully be paying you out here before too long. But, yeah, go Pats, big Super Bowl, and appreciate all the help, fellas.
All right, thank you, Matt Light. There you have it.
By the way, I remember when that happened. It was the Super Bowl in 2012. It was the second Giants one. That's right? It was the second time they lost the Giants? Yeah.
Indianapolis.
It was that he can't catch. My husband can't throw and catch the ball.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was a video that came out afterwards, and it was, you know, these teams both have parties. No matter what, the Eagles and the Patriots have a party set up for after the Super Bowl is done. And now it's always awkward if your team loses, but there's this video that came out of Matt Light, and it was great because Matt was just having the time of his life, and he was dancing around. I remember the unjustified crap that he got from fans.
Gronkowski got crap after a game, too.
But the Gronkowski one, I still don't think it was justified, but I think they were saying it was because he was playing on the hurt ankle at the time, and he was jumping all around.
But that they lost that one.
That was the same one.
It was the same one. Remember, there's videos of them both shirtless on stage, and people were going nuts on Gronkowski. Okay, whatever about Gronkowski. But to rip on Matt Light when the season's over, and this was like, listen, what are you going to do? You can't change what you did on the field.
Yeah, what
the
do you
season's
want,
over.
Yeah, what do you want them to do?
Let them actually enjoy.
What do you want them to sit home and cry?
Yes, that's exactly
worry,
what people
the
want
worry
him
with
to
Gronk
do.
Was no, he would injure the ankle
I just
further,
said, forget
right?
about Gronk. Because,
but part of that was, listen, if Gronkowski was like doing wind sprints and crying, no one would have had a problem with it.
Right.
It was the idea that he was dancing that people had a problem with after the season was over.
Yeah, that was crazy with Matt Light when people were saying, you know, now people have come around now and gone, okay, I was going a little nuts at the time. But that was, I remember having to deal with that morning. Like, what are we talking about here?
If you're a professional athlete, you have to be able to get over losses because you're going to experience a ton of them.
And the season's over.
No, I know. And it's constant adversity. So if you can't flip the switch and go, all right, you know, wish we would have won the Super Bowl, we'll get back at it next year, then you're not going to be a very effective athlete. If you just sit there, you got to get over stuff and you know, take some time off and then get refocused. That's a big part of being an athlete, something that's overlooked. I mean, you're going to face adversity all the time. I mean, 31 teams a year don't win the Super Bowl? I mean, what do you want them to do? You know, stick their head in the oven?
Matt was tasting colors that night.
Yeah, I like how he said booze. Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Plymouth Rock Assurance.
Richard and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
One radio station.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Big event coming up, and it's right around the corner. Things are very busy in the month of February for the Toucher and Rich radio program. Oh, by the way, Rucker was like, dude, just go out and talk to Patrice. Just go out today. He's going to be out. This was yesterday. Today he's going to be out there. 11:30. They get out and practice. Guess who didn't practice yesterday?
Patrice.
Yeah. So we could have sat around and waited here all day and then gone over there not to speak to Patrice.
Well, it's how,
and then he's like, well, you could go on Thursday. They're playing in Ottawa. Patrice Bergeron and this very show present Pucks and Paddles. Someone bring up the page, if you would, at 98.5thesports.com.
I'll do it right now.
/pucks. The first annual ping pong tournament, which I'm telling you is going to be way more entertaining than Cuts for a Cause. This is the best team in hockey right now, including they have a Fonzie-like bad guy in Brad Marchand, who got 5 games. And I guess, according to a caller we couldn't get to, people at TSN were saying he should have gotten 10. The first annual ping pong, which is, that's right, missing 1/8 of the season because of an elbow. It's the first annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Boston Bruins Foundation and the Floating Hospital for Children's at Tufts Medical Center. This has been my charity of choice. It's we've been doing this event and I've experienced the hospital. This has become my go-to, unless I'm throwing Rich some coin for one of his things.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it. Thanks for the thanks. Thursday, February 5th, I'm just joking. Thursday, February 15th at the Royal Boston. Bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player, Toucher Rich and others. And obviously when you bid on this, you also get to the VIP access. VIP tickets are $200. You go around, you get FaceTime with the players. They're hockey players, so they're cool. And you can get a bunch of stuff signed. Like my son has a Bruins flag that has all their signatures on it. General admission tickets are $50. For all the information to buy tickets, go to 985thesportshub.com. /pucks.
The good news is I'm looking. We got a bid for everyone on the list except for 3 people. One 98.5 host does not have a bid yet.
Who?
Mark Bertrand does not have one yet.
He survived a massive car wreck.
Yes.
Just get around him because he's very lucky right now.
That's right. And Tim Schaller does not have one, and neither does Danton Heinen. I think that's it.
Heinen's all right, too.
Yeah. So two players and one Sports Hub host. Everyone else has a bid. But we would like to see the bids even higher. And once again, VIP tickets still on sale. So if you're worried that you might get outbid, so you won't get to the VIP session, well, then buy your VIP tickets. $200, that'll get you in, and you get to get all the autographs that you know, right there. And it's nice. It's quick. They do a good job getting everyone through. We've done this for years, so we've gotten very good at it.
Yeah, and this one being a ping pong tournament, back in Cuts for a Cause, you're kind of in the crowd, and we were on a stage. This is going to be, you're going to be a lot more intimate. This is going to be, you're going to be around the players, and they'll be in much better moods because they won't be not wanting to get their hair cut. And I would imagine this kind of gets takes away them hiding backstage. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, of course.
Where they get angry when we take their beer.
They're going to be out there.
Which is what I do every single time I'm there.
All right, this is a weird thing, though, with Marchand, because we've obviously heard that he got the 5-game suspension. And the NHL's reasoning for it, they came out with one of those really crazy videos that it sounds like it's doom and gloom, but here's what NHL had to say about the justification for why he got 5.
While we acknowledge Marchand's argument that he is attempting to defend himself from oncoming contact, it is Marchand who initiates the contact on this play. This is an offensive, not a defensive maneuver, and cannot be excused as accidental or defensive contact. To summarize, this is elbowing. Marchand is a repeat offender under the terms of the collective bargaining agreement and has been suspended 5 times and fined 3 times previously in his 572-game NHL career. The Department of Player Safety has suspended Brad Marchand for 5 games.
Okay, I have no problem with the NHL announcing that they're giving him 5 games. This is a guy who's a repeat offender. He's done this over and over again. You have to send a message. It was a hit to the head. They're trying to get rid of that. What I don't understand is why we haven't heard that Marchand is appealing. Why has it not been announced that he's going to appeal this? Because the way I thought this would go was that they would throw something heavy at him. 5 games was still a little bit of a shocker, but I thought they would give him a decent amount, and then he would appeal, and it would go down to something like 3, something that seems a little more rational for what the actual crime was. So why have we not heard that?
He's got to appeal.
I mean, it's almost a full day since they've come out with this. It was yesterday afternoon. Why have we not heard that there's going to be an appeal at this point?
I don't know. He'll appeal it.
Now, they are going to let him play in the All-Star game.
Well, that's very bold of them. I wonder if they could chuck another Lightning player on there, too. You know, a defenseman went down. They could have put Chara on there, but they had to pop another Lightning player on there.
It's in Tampa. The All-Star isn't the All-Star weekend in Tampa?
Oh, is it?
I have a feeling it is.
What do I know? How would I know?
That is the 6th time he's been suspended, resulting in 19 games missed, and he's lost almost $1 million in fines.
It's in Tampa, Florida this year.
So they're loading the team with the. So they're just saying, let's play to the home crowd and ignore everyone else that could be watching this.
Tampa also has the best record in the league. That helps.
Not by much.
No, but the Bruins are gaining on them. But right now, Tampa has the best record in the league and the home ice for the event.
All right, so the Bruins have the 2nd best record in the league, and they have 1 All-Star.
Yes.
And a defenseman went down, and you could have easily replaced him with Chara, who's having a year like he did 6 years ago.
You heard Billy Jaffe. I mean, the odds are if McAvoy didn't have this procedure, it would have been him.
Then they should have put Chara on. Or, you know, if someone went down, they should have gotten Bergeron. Oh, Mike knows why he can't appeal.
Okay.
With an exclamation mark from Bird. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
I definitely did not call with an exclamation point. So you can't appeal anything 5 or under. The phone ones are different from the in-person. You can only appeal if it's 6 or more.
Oh, I did not know.
Really? Because I could have sworn like...
Thank you. That is another thing I don't know. So chalk that up.
All right.
To things that I'm not aware of. All right. The stack is coming up, Rich. What do we got going there?
Well, this whole thing with Marcus Smart and his hand getting sliced up at the hotel is getting very, very interesting. On top of that, Bob Costas explains that he wasn't snubbed for the Super Bowl. Sure. On top of that, unfortunately, very sad news, but I guess there's a... I don't want to say a happy ending, but a very evil man was put into jail for a very long, long time yesterday.
All right. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
It's State Farm.
Admit it. Toucher. It turns you on.
And Rich.
Your mother's dream.
Toucher and Rich.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what have we not gotten to today?
Well, so the Celtics won last night. Thank goodness. Stopped the bleeding after 4 atrocious games. They right the ship with that... win against the Clippers and Doc Rivers, which for some strange reason, everyone's saying that Doc Rivers is going to be the new Milwaukee Bucks coach, that he's going to be the guy to replace Jason Kidd. And if I'm Milwaukee, why are you looking at Doc Rivers? I mean, Doc Rivers is a guy that ever since he's been in Los Angeles, it's been a mess.
Considering the line of the roster that Milwaukee has, plus one of the most promising players in the NBA, I mean, it's one of the jobs that a lot of people want.
You get to work with Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Antetokounmpo, you have Chris Middleton, Brogdon's a good young point guard. I mean, you have an opportunity here to step in and win immediately. That's every head coach's dream. Doc Rivers is going to cost you a ton. I agree with Rich. Why do you necessarily want Doc Rivers, who was given a ton with the Clippers and didn't do all that much?
Well, I hope that Giannis Antetokounmpo likes Austin Rivers, because I guarantee you he's going to end up going with him eventually, which seems to be the way he rolls.
See, if I'm Doc, I want to get the hell away from him.
What, Austin? Yeah, he seems to be. I mean, like, he's generating hatred from his players because they are bitter that Austin Rivers is walking around acting like he's won like three championships.
If I'm Doc, I need a break from all of that. I mean, it's just the Clippers have not done well. They're on the downside. They're on the downside now. They're not going to get any better. Why not go to an easier conference where you won't have to battle as much? And, you know, LeBron's leaving. So theoretically, that's one big hurdle out of the way. And if LeBron goes to the West, if I'm Doc, I go East. But I think Milwaukee can have their pick of any free agent coach they want.
Speaking of that, I don't mean to sidetrack, but Dan Gilbert, did you hear the news yesterday that he might be considering selling the team because this might be LeBron's last year? After it's done, he won his championship. Time to sell.
He wants to buy the Pistons. I know that. So I don't know if the Pistons are going to be for sale, but he definitely has always wanted to a Detroit team. Did you?
Is the Little Caesars guy the one who owns the Pistons, or is it just the Red Wings?
He does not own the Pistons. Okay. He owns the Tigers, and he owns the Red Wings.
Okay.
Little Caesars Arena, correct?
It is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you read the thing in Deadspin about floating the idea out there that Cavaliers trade LeBron James?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think it might have even been Windhorst who did an interview with, what's his name, Zach Lowe. And they were sitting there and talking, and even Windhorst said, I think it's about time that LeBron James gives a list of three teams to the Cavaliers that he wants to get traded to. If you want to get any value for him. I mean, think about that. If you're the Cavs, and you know LeBron is leaving, and the team's a disaster, why wouldn't you try to get a King's ransom right now and trade him?
And remember, the people
he's
talked
to. He's got a no, obviously no trade clause, but you don't tell me LeBron wouldn't all of a sudden want to get out of that situation if he's going to leave anyway.
The people we've talked to in Cleveland say, you know, the fans got the championship they wanted and would not necessarily riot if they traded LeBron. Because remember when LeBron left, remember the roster he left behind, it was atrocious.
Right.
So they're in a significantly better position now, even if the Brooklyn pick is 8, 9, or 10, they're in a significantly better position now in a deeper draft to start over. And if you traded LeBron and got whatever it was, 2, 3 first-round pick, whatever the case may be, you're never going to get equal value for him. But if you manage to put together a nice package to start over with on top of the Brooklyn pick, I think if you're Cleveland, you absolutely have
pick
to
pick up the
look
phone, Danny. Say Daniel Theis, Semi Ojeleye. Make
right.
it happen.
Sure.
Didn't Semi Ojeleye get 3 fouls in like three minutes?
Yes, he did.
He got 3 fouls in a minute. But yes, I mean, I don't know what a team like the Rockets have to give up. But I mean, imagine if the Rockets made a move, because that's a team that was speculated that he might want to go to anyway. Think about how deadly they would be in the playoffs. I mean, they're already going to be an excellent team.
You say that, and thinking about Chris Paul, James Harden, and LeBron James playing together, I have one phrase. There's only one ball.
Well, yeah. I mean, Harden.
Harden needs the ball about 80% of the
Harden
time.
Harden would have a heart attack.
He'd never see it again.
Yeah, Harden would
say
have a heart attack.
Say goodbye to 30 points and 10 assists a game.
Yeah, he would quit.
Wow.
But that's not a bad idea. But that's not an awful idea.
No, talent-wise, it'd be great.
What I'm saying is trading LeBron makes
more and more sense every day.
If you're Dan Gilbert and you're going to sell this team anyway, but you kind of want to leave everything in good hands,
sell it before you trade LeBron.
You bet. Well, that would be kind of that would be great. Okay, back to what I've sidetracked 14 times during that.
Yes.
Last night, Celtics end up winning, but they didn't have two of their best players. You had Al Horford, who bonked his head with somebody the night before. So just to keep an eye on things because of his concussion history, they kept him out. And then there's Marcus Smart, who was unavailable last night because he lacerated his hand at the hotel on some glass yesterday afternoon. But when he was asked about it before the game, Brad Stevens, who's usually pretty good about talking to the press and answering things, seemed a little hesitant to answer in too much detail about what specifically happened with Marcus.
Marcus Smart is also out. He lacerated his hand on glass in the hotel, got stitches. I don't know the full story. We're learning more about that. Mike Zarin and Brian Dolan were with him at the hospital 2 hours ago. Got stitches, and it doesn't sound like a long-term injury, but we're doing more research on how it happened.
So that was something that happened today?
Today, this afternoon.
Okay, there were several follow-up questions after that. Like, okay, you're doing more research. What does that mean? And he goes, well, you know, we want to get all the information that we get. You have access to Marcus Smart. you can pick up the phone or go to the hotel or go to the and just say, hey, Marcus, what happened?
You know what that means.
That means something nefarious
that
or
means
something
that
embarrassing
Marcus,
happened.
Well, yeah, no, or it means that Marcus told them what happened and they didn't believe it.
Right, well, not, didn't
and now they
him.
Have, I don't know if they have CSI forensics going over the hotel room, but I think they may come at this a different direction. I mean, Marcus.
You think that he was smoking crack and the pipe broke? Is that what you're insinuating?
No, it's not what I'm insinuating.
John Wallach
at all.
Is insinuating.
Not insinuating that.
John Wallach, you're saying that he has a crack addiction?
No, not saying that at all, Fred.
Well, John,
you suck in that glass. You know what?
I'm just saying they didn't believe his explanation, whatever that means.
I mean, because I've more times than not, I've cut my hand when I've been smoking crack.
Sure.
I get all antsy, and then there it breaks.
Who hasn't? But either that or they know what it was. Mm-hmm. It could have been something childish. I mean, remember, the night before, he chucked up that three-point shot and didn't go in.
Much to the chagrin of many.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and that was also the day after they had a team meeting, which Kyrie Irving, when he was asked about the team meeting, you could tell he wanted to distance himself as far as possible from what's been going on with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So he made sure he's like, you know, they call a lot of things team meetings. It was just a gathering when your team's not doing that well, blah, 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 blah. But still, there was a lot of talk as of late of accountability and how are we going to right this ship? And then you got Marcus Smart chucking up that ball. Couldn't you see him getting frustrated and doing something stupid?
No.
Like smoking crack, John?
That's not what I meant at all, Rich.
No, but that's
not what I said.
Just because of his upbringing and how tough his life was doesn't mean that he turned to a life of crack addiction.
What are you doing, John?
Not saying that at all.
No, I mean, it was, you know, he grew up.
Words in my mouth.
He grew up tough, but John, I guess he's on that team playing, wagging his fingers at everyone.
Right. Not this year.
I just, yeah, not this year at all. You
not
wish.
Not this year.
Yeah, come on, Grandy. Get some rest.
All right. I call
when
him every
we
couple
come
of
back,
weeks to ask how he is.
When we come back, Rich, you got to play the Grandy stuff again.
Do you like talking now?
Toucher and Rich.
Open your mouth wide.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. This is kind of funny from last night's broadcast of the Celtics game. Sean Grandy, you know, you're in L.A. There's quite a spectacle. Lots of celebrities around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard not to get caught up in it. And here is Sean Grandy getting a little randy.
Al Horford out, precautionary, not concussion protocol. Celtics not taking any chances after he got hit on the head late last night. I'm sorry, I'm going to go back to this in a second, but I was just distracted for a moment. Now, Marcus Smart, it was not about the Marcus Smart injury, by the way. It was one of my all-time, I don't want to go down this path too much, but I've had a crush on Sarah Silverman for 20 years, and she's at the game tonight. Yeah. And we're going to make something happen here later.
Yeah, Randy Grandy. Sitting there. What's
then,
up there, Sarah?
And then he goes back to it.
Yeah, so a little time passes, and then his thoughts go in a different direction.
So. Do you know Sarah Silverman is from New Hampshire?
I don't even know Sarah Silverman.
I know you don't know. You would if I showed you Sarah Silverman, you would know. 20 years. 20 years I've had a crush on her. That's no lie. Wesley Johnson finds
Yeah, we heard that. We heard that earlier, yep.
You know that Cedric Maxwell stops at Dick Gregory.
Right, you said the cast of 227.
Well, Jack Kay was the one he had a crush on.
It's like, oh, yeah. But it did not end there for Sean Grandy.
It did not.
Off the bench, and he's sitting there right now. He's going over.
I was distracted by the Sarah Silverman selfie. The first free throw is good for Tatum. Celtics extending their largest lead. 16 now. I can understand if you didn't know who she was, but Scal not knowing was disappointing. That's from an age. I know he's otherwise occupied and may not been on his radar. Tatum gets both free throws. 101-84. Celtics by 17 now. It's so quiet in here now, you can hear Scal.
Yes. Randy Grandy's got his eye on Sarah. Hello, Miss Silverman. Would you like for me to show you my wrestling belt collection? I have the personal email of Mick Foley, a.k.a. Mankind, impressed.
Cactus Jack, as you may know him as. Depending.
What's that?
Who's this?
That's Sarah Silverman.
This?
Yeah. Yeah. That's Sarah Silverman.
That's Sarah Silverman.
Yeah.
What happened here?
Taking a picture with the mascot
it's
last
just,
night.
It's just, a, you know, not the best angle, but Sarah Silverman's fine.
We all...
My Micah?
Yeah,
we've all had bad pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see
better,
that?
It's better.
She looks great there. She looks great.
Well, she's not a supermodel. It's just, it was
one of those weird crushes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
Typical Grandy.
You know who's in love with Sarah Silverman is Norm MacDonald. If you read his memoir, I don't know if he's joking or not, but quite a bit of the book is
about Sarah?
Talks about his infatuation with Sarah Silverman.
Oh, well,
but right. I don't know how much of that is real.
Okay,
very confusing memoir that he wrote. All right, Scott Zolak,
how are you guys?
What's up?
We're doing good.
Ready to go?
You're getting pumped up for
two
the
more
big
days. Two more days of work here, and then start packing, and we head out Monday.
You do your show Tuesday from Minneapolis?
Correct. Yep. Yeah, Bertrand and Hardy will do it Monday. I'll be traveling with the team on Monday.
I'm looking at a picture of Radio Row. We are right in front of a GameStop.
Like that.
And what looks like...
Nerds will be there, Wallach. Hang out with them.
we all hang out together.
Some Dungeons & Dragons.
Right.
I think I see a... Fred, you said you saw a Lego store? There's a Western wear place called Tuff, T-U-F-F.
Oh, really?
Which maybe we'll have to get...
I don't know.
You know, Wallach and I get up in.
Tough skin. Do we know what floor that is on?
I have no idea.
It's just floor one.
They just put some pictures out. So.
It's floor one?
I think we're next to the amusement park by the food court.
Well, the amusement park is the whole middle of the ball all the way up.
That's the Nickelodeon
where the
thing?
Party is. Just think about that. Drunk 6,000 drunk media members and roller coasters.
You know what I'm going to do is not go there.
Yeah. That's one party you don't go
to.
No.
You're out of, if whoever goes to that is just out of their minds.
We took Wallach to the last one I was at in Indy with him.
Oh, man.
Forgot I went with him.
Almost got me killed.
Yeah.
Almost got me killed that night.
That was fun.
Went over in the hood. I said, Wallach, get out and ask for directions.
That's right. We stopped at a gas station. Yeah. I got out of the car. He locked the door. And from the second I walked in that gas station, the spotlight was on me.
That's right.
Nice job. All right.